When I was a young boy, I often stayed over at my grandparents' home, a small bungalow located in an unnamed area of Montreal next to the town of Mount Royal. The house had three bedrooms, but just one bathroom that always smelled of Noxzema face cream. My uncle Nat, my mother's youngest brother, had once lived there, but he had married and moved out several years before. When I slept over, it was in Uncle Nat's old room. He had left his collection of popular mechanics magazines on the shelf of the headboard, and I loved reading them over and over again. There were also a couple of well-worn issues of Playboy, but at that time, I was more interested in science, radios and auto mechanics than in naked women. The large bed had a yellow quilt stuffed with feathers. The material had a pattern depicting the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. The quilt was enormous, heavy and oh so cozy. My grandmother would wash it regularly and hang it outside to dry, so the images were faded and the fabric was thinning out by the time I became its primary user. The kitchen in my grandmother's house was small. There was a narrow formica table against one wall that sat three, a Moffat electric stove where my grandmother would make her famous gefilte fish, chicken soup and varenikes, and a very unusual Philco refrigerator with a V-shaped handle that allowed the door to be opened from either side. The cupboards were not very deep and my grandfather had built an extra pantry in the basement to store any extra food and provisions. My grandmother always had an abundance of food. She once told me a story about an incident that happened when they still lived on Rue Saint-Urbain. A very old, skinny, disheveled man knocked at the door of their apartment. My grandmother answered the knock. The man looked very poor and he begged my grandmother for some scraps of food. My grandmother felt sorry for the old man. She herself had recently arrived from Europe and she knew what it was like to be hungry and poor. She invited the man into the house, allowed him to use the washroom to clean up, and then she prepared a lunch from the leftovers of the previous night's dinner. The man ate heartily. No one could refuse my grandmother's cooking. She even poured him some of my grandfather's homemade wine. After consuming the meal, the man got up to leave. He thanked my grandmother over and over again, and before he left, he touched the doorknob of the front door, mumbled something in Hebrew, and then in Yiddish he exclaimed, "In this house, no one will ever go hungry." Was he some kind of angel or just a very grateful human? We will never know. Many years later, my Uncle Morris would become the vice president of a large chain of grocery stores. He would provide his parents with large boxes of fresh produce and other foods every week. Could this have been the result of the old man's blessing? From his work as a carpenter and cabinet maker, my grandfather's hands were completely calloused. It was as if he had lost all feelings in his fingertips. When I was young, I had a bad case of acne. Pimples popped up on my face like dandelions in the summer. I looked like the goalie for a dart team. Today, acne can be controlled to a great extent with skin creams and antibiotics. But back in the 1960s, one of the standard treatments was the application of hot compresses to open and clean the pores. My grandfather took it upon himself to be the prime caregiver for my acne condition, and so he boiled some water and threw some washcloths into the pot. When the water reached the boiling point, Zeta Max would reach in, grab one of the towels and quickly apply it to my face. The problem was that he couldn't feel how hot the towels were, but I could. There was a cemetery not far from the house. I let out a scream that I'm sure woke up some of the cemetery occupants. My face turned crimson red and I looked like a cartoon character that had just been punched in the gut. I ran screaming down the hall as my Zeta tried to apply a second towel. He wasn't very happy with my reaction and I believe that he yelled something in Yiddish that meant I was a coward, a chicken, a scaredy cat or a combination of the three. It was the last time that Dr. Zeta would play dermatologist with my face. I would spend many weekends at my grandparents' house. It was my refuge and there, I could do no wrong. One day my Zeta Max told my grandmother that he wasn't feeling very well. This was unusual because, since I knew my grandfather, he was never ever sick. Zeta Max was clutching his chest and was having trouble breathing. My grandmother called for an ambulance, and the attendants quickly put Zeta Max on a stretcher and brought him to the nearest hospital. He had experienced a near-fatal heart attack and he had to stay in the hospital for several weeks. I had just obtained my driver's permit and I would take my grandmother to the hospital whenever I could to visit him. When the doctors finally released Zeta Max, it was with a collection of prescription drugs, a strict low-sodium diet and a prohibition against returning to his work at the furniture factory. They told him that he needed lots of rest and a strict change of lifestyle in order to stay alive. His heart was damaged and it would never return to a truly healthy state. My grandmother had to change her recipes. The use of schmaltz, chicken fat, was prohibited and she substituted Mrs. Dash for salt. Truthfully, one could notice a difference in taste and texture, but if it meant keeping my grandfather alive, we would need to accept the new cuisine. One day I came to my grandparents' house for lunch. My grandmother had just prepared a chicken noodle soup, one of my favorites. I sat down at the kitchen table with Zeta Max and I tasted the soup, it needed salt. I asked my grandmother for the salt shaker, which was now hidden deep in the pantry. "It doesn't need salt," Zeta Max said in a threatening voice. "I think it does. The broth is kind of bland," I replied. Zeta Max became upset. If he wasn't having salt, then no one was. But I took the salt shaker and gave a few shakes into my bowl. Zeta Max became furious. Because of his weakened heart, he was not supposed to get stressed, but that didn't stop him. I quickly regretted adding the salt, but his next move took me totally by surprise. He screwed off the cover of the salt shaker and poured the remaining salt into my soup bowl. "You want salt?" he yelled. "Well, now you have it. Go on and eat your soup." I ate the soup. It was as salty as the Dead Sea, but I had no choice. I didn't want my grandfather to win the battle. I should have known better. It was a lesson that would follow me into my own heart bypass surgery many years later. Paul J. Starr is a retired systems analyst who has lived his entire life in Montreal, Canada. On Sunday mornings, he is living the dream, hosting a 2-hour internet radio show featuring music from the 50s and 60s called Judy's Diner.